It can even save your life. That's why we enforce seatbelt laws, to save lives. So buckle up every trip, every time. Click it or ticket.
Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's 5:04, and look, we're all still here. What a great day June 1st is turning out to be on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I'm telling you, the Alex Kuhn Show.
It doesn't have a ring, Todd. I don't think it's going to work.
It'll grow on you. And Jeff Downing joining us in the studio. We'll get to him in just a second. The Hawkeyes and the Iowa baseball team in Houston to begin NCAA regional baseball play tomorrow against the Houston Cougars. They're ranked 15th nationally. That game is a 7:04 start time on ESPN2, I think, or ESPN. Can't remember. ESPN doesn't have anything else to put on right now, so it might. I think it's ESPN. I don't have the notes in front of me, but you can join us at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City as part of the KGYM road trip tomorrow from 4 until 7 o'clock. We're going to be taking you right up until first pitch.
I think it's on the U.
It's on ESPNU. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. ESPNU, I guess.
I know they have the whip-around coverage of the regionals in between games, so I wasn't sure exactly the TV schedule for Friday. And I believe, like you were talking about yesterday, Todd, the NCAA regionals get underway today in Provo, Utah.
Yes, with BYU, and that is because of their not playing on Sunday, so should they advance to the championship, they have it set out so that they would be able to play on Saturday instead of Sunday. And if they aren't part of the championship, then they'll play on Sunday like everybody else, I think is the way that it works out. Double elimination, just like the Big Ten tournament, so the Hawkeyes are guaranteed at least two games, and that gives Jake Adams at least two more games to add to that season total of home runs, which now stands at 27. After his impressive performance at the Big Ten tournament in Bloomington, Indiana. We're going to have a little NFL and NBA talk for you tonight, as well as some MLB discussion. The Cardinals winning earlier today 2-0 over the Dodgers in their series finale, so they'll come with a little momentum to Wrigley Field tomorrow as the Cubs and the Cardinals. It's going to be a heck of a day at the Coach's Corner because the Cubs and the Cardinals play at 1:20, and that will sort of bridge the gap to our show and then right to Iowa baseball. So stop on in, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Jeff Downing with us here in the studio, and that can mean only one thing.
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? A shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would you?
All right, Jeff, you've got five of the finest woodges aged in oaken caskets.
They get better every week.
They do. It's like a, yeah, so like a block of moldy cheese or something. Just cut the mold off and go.
All right. Number one, Todd, would you face high expectations or low expectations if you were Iowa and Iowa State?
Would I rather face high expectations or low expectations coming into this season if I were Iowa and Iowa State? And this is interesting because I think from the Hawkeyes' standpoint, we talked about the Las Vegas projections on both of these teams yesterday on the show. And if I recall correctly, the Hawkeyes were at 6.5.
That's correct.
And Iowa State was at 4.5, and I said I would take the over on Iowa State, and the Iowa number was really close to where it should be, where you'd have to stop and think about it. And I know a lot of Hawkeye fans out there are saying 7-8 wins, no problem. Well, over 19 years with Kirk Ferentz, a lot of times there has been, quote-unquote, problem. So I would pump the brakes on that. If I'm Iowa, they always seem to do better when expectations are low. Look a couple years ago when they wound up running the table and getting to Indianapolis and going to the Rose Bowl. Very little was expected of that team coming into the season. The years where people are saying 9-10 wins, that's when sometimes you get 6-7 wins, maybe even a 4-win season thrown in there. And Iowa State, I think the same thing here, although the savvy football watcher has expectations for Matt Campbell and his team this year, and that is a squad that I think could go to a bowl game this year. But by and large, most people would probably say, at least nationally, expectations would be low for Iowa State this year as well if you're expected to win 4.5 games, or that's where Vegas puts the number at anyway. I'd say both of these teams, I would rather have low expectations going into the season. I know that doesn't get anything, do anything to get the fans excited, but when the bar is set low, not only is it sort of motivation, the old chip on the shoulder, but it's easier to clear it in the end too.
I certainly understand the point about Iowa, especially Iowa, doing better, having better seasons when expectations are low. They seem to thrive when expectations are low, and when the expectations are high, the season doesn't exactly go as planned. Look at last year. I know they won 8 games, but there were a lot of expectations for them to win 9 or 10 and have a return trip to Indianapolis last year. That clearly did not happen. But as a college football program in general, you're asking me whether I would rather have high or low expectations. I will not hesitate to say high expectations. Because if you have high expectations, it means A, that you've done something right the previous season, and B, that you have a lot of talent returning. And having a lot of talent returning is much better than not having a lot of talent returning. I know I'm Captain Obvious at this point, but high expectations are something that you should strive for a college football program. And not being able to handle them is, in my opinion, the difference between a good program and a top 5 or top 10 perennial program. So for fans out there that want to see their team succeed, that want to see their team not just be an 8-win or 9-win and every once in a while 10 or 11-win team and then slip back to 6 wins the following year, for fans that want to see consistent success, I think that a big step in doing so is embracing basically high standards, embracing the high expectations that come with winning and returning a lot of talent.
Number two, let's go to Alex. How would you fix the Cubs and Cardinals right now?
The Cubs, I don't really think, need too much of a fix. I think that lineup is talented enough to the point where they're going to win the division. Maybe they don't win 97 games or 100 games or however they've won the last couple of years. But the division just is not anything more than, in my opinion, mediocre at this point, with the Cardinals and the Reds and the Brewers and the Pirates sitting behind, not in the standings, but behind the Cubs. So I think eventually the Cubs come around, they win 90 games, and they win the division. So there's not a quick fix. If you want to add a starter, if the Cubs want to add a starter, or reliever, a small piece to that lineup, then so be it, and maybe their team gets better. But for the Cardinals, I don't know. I know that it's been a roller coaster season for them so far. I know they got off to a bad start, and then they had a really good stretch, and now they're on another bad stretch. But there are just so many question marks. You look at that team and you say, okay, well, what do they do well? And there's no answer. There's no quick answer for you. Their starting pitching is pretty good. It's gotten better. Adam Wainwright is starting to come around. Carlos Martinez is pitching well. Lance Lynn, Michael Wacha. Their starting pitching is probably the strength of the team right now. The offense has been very inconsistent, and when the team's not playing well, the offense has been pretty bad. The base running is terrible. The defense is bad, especially in the infield. And the outfield is average at best defensively. So they have a lot of issues right now, and there is not one way. There's not one way. There's not one trade they can make. There's not one call up from AAA or AA. There's no help in the farm system right now. So, like you said earlier, Todd, John Mozeliak and Mike Matheny, especially Mike Matheny, I'm not going to say that they're on the hot seat, but their seat daily seems to get warmer and warmer. And I do think that Mike Matheny is a pretty good manager, but the lack of fundamentals, the lack of pretty much everything that, right or wrong, this organization is about, is not going to fly, especially if the team continues to hover around 500 or slightly below.
I don't know what to do with regard to the Cardinals here, other than, I guess, cross your fingers and hope that everybody gets healthy sooner rather than later, because I think they've done most of what they can as far as trying to right the ship. They sent Randall Grichuk down to the minor leagues to try to work through some issues and maybe get a little bit of confidence back. And in the meantime, that gives Tommy Pham, for the most part, an everyday role. You've got, I think, the makings of a team that's postseason capable, to put it that way. And if it weren't for the Cubs, I would say they're going to win the National League Central. Chicago, on the other hand, I think there's too much talent on that roster to continue underperforming. And if I had to fix the team, quote-unquote, if I were Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein, I would look at trying to figure out a more permanent solution at the top of the lineup other than Kyle Schwarber. I think now that we're a couple more weeks into this, it's very much looking like someone else needs to take over that role, and Joe Maddon's played around with it in recent days with a lineup. But it also may be a couple weeks removed from saying that you stick with him in the major leagues. Maybe time to send Kyle Schwarber to Des Moines for a little while to give him a little bit of a mental rest, because it's a lot easier to hit and get things going in AAA than it is in the major leagues. And I think most players would tell you that. The level of pitching isn't terribly different, but it's just less pressure when you're doing it in front of, say, 7,000 or 8,000 people on any given night as opposed to 48,000 people. And I think long-term, they may not admit it today, but they're going to probably want to trade for a starting pitcher at some point in time. And I know Garrett Cole's name has been thrown out there from the Pirates. I've heard people pie in the sky, Jose Quintana. I don't think that's happening, but never say never. And the guy that I think is intriguing would be Chris Archer from the Rays, who's a former Cubs prospect, which would probably cost a lot to get him. And because it was talked about a couple weeks ago, I think if you really want to make that almost seemingly desperation move that would just absolutely scream former regime, you talk to the Arizona Diamondbacks about Zach Greinke, who's got a massive contract with a team that doesn't really make a whole lot of money. He doesn't really do much for the Diamondbacks the way that that team is built right now. And if you wanted to look like the Cubs of old, go out and assume that massive contract with Zach Greinke, knowing that Jake Arrieta walks after the season is over, and with Greinke under control with that contract for the next couple years, you've got a replacement for Arrieta, and then you don't have to hit free agency as hard in the offseason. And that's where I would start.
Todd, let's go with you once again. Number three, what would you expect from Victor Cruz as a Bears fan this fall?
Lots of time on the injured reserve list, and I think that's pretty much a given at this point in his career. I know what the Bears are trying to do here, and I don't necessarily know whether it's going to be successful or not, but I've got a pretty strong feeling that it won't be. They're hoping that he can stay healthy and give whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Mike Glennon or Mitchell Trubisky, an established veteran target to throw to. But I used to do this all the time playing fantasy baseball. I would draft a guy, and all I could think about was what he did 4 years ago. And you look and see guys and go, oh, that guy's a name. Well, yeah, he was a name 4 years ago, and now he's just a name on the roster. And the Victor Cruz that the Bears signed is not the salsa-dancing Victor Cruz of 3 or 4 years ago when he was a really great feel-good story for the Giants, and I like the guy, and I'll root for him, even though I'm not a Bears fan. But my expectations, if I were a Chicago Bears fan, for Victor Cruz would be very low this year.
Mike Mussina was one of the names that I drafted when I played fantasy baseball. Oh, that's a name. Oh, he's not exactly the best pitcher in Major League Baseball anymore. But as far as Victor Cruz goes, you can't really expect a whole lot. What you can do as a Bears fan is hope. And there are three names that they brought in, actually four, if you want to throw Ruben Randall, one of Victor Cruz's former teammates, into the discussion. There are four names at wide receiver, and if the Bears can get middle to above average production from any of them, I think that they consider what they've done in the offseason a win. They bring in Marcus Wheaton from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They bring in Kendall Wright, who had 93 catches a few seasons ago from the Tennessee Titans. And I mentioned Ruben Randall from the New York Giants, along with Victor Cruz. And if one of those guys can be a complimentary piece to Cameron Meredith, or maybe catch 50, 60 balls this season, then you consider it a win. As far as Victor Cruz goes, the injuries have just derailed his career since 2013. 2014, he played in six games. He didn't play at all in 2015. He was at least back on the roster and on the active roster last year, hauling in 39 receptions. But in that offense, let's not forget the offense that he was in New York with Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. and all the weapons that go along with the offense with the Giants. It's not the same in Chicago. He's going to have to at least be healthy enough during OTAs and at least be healthy enough during camp to build a little bit of a rapport with Mike Glennon or with Mitchell Trubisky. Like you said, Todd, if Mitchell Trubisky takes on the role midseason, which, by the way, I think would be a huge mistake if you're the Chicago Bears. But I can't imagine him with any more than 20 to 25 receptions this season. If he gets more, then it's all, I guess, icing on the cake if you're the Chicago Bears.
Todd, number four. Would you want to see Scott Schlebler in the Home Run Derby at this year's All-Star Game?
No, I don't think so. As much as it would be entertaining to see from a local standpoint, the Home Run Derby screws guys up. And there's been a pretty lengthy track record of that. I think Jock Peterson of the Dodgers got thrown off by participating. That's the reason why you see a lot of guys like Mike Trout say thanks but no thanks to participating in the Home Run Derby. I think Chris Bryant turned down an invitation a couple years ago. When you go out there and you're trying to put on a show for the fans, things tend to get a little out of whack, and then you come back in the second half and your numbers just aren't the same, and it seems like it's more of a detriment than it is a benefit to the actual players. Now, as a baseball fan and as a local guy here in Eastern Iowa, I think it would be fantastic to see Scott Schebler in the Home Run Derby in Miami. But speaking practically and what's best for him in the long run, I think no. The answer there would be no. Now, they're going to always find guys to participate in the Home Run Derby. I just don't think it would be. Look at Adam Duvall, his teammate, who was tremendous last year in the first half of the season.
And that's kind of why I say yes, because Adam Duvall has gotten off to a pretty good start here in 2017. And I think Scott Schebler similarly has the type of swing where I think that he has a natural home run swing, kind of an uppercut, a violent swing, and he wouldn't really have to change much about his swing to succeed in the Home Run Derby. And selfishly, I want to see a Cedar Rapids kid compete in the Home Run Derby. So I say absolutely. Let's see Scott Schebler in the Home Run Derby.
Final one, number five. Alex, how would you handle the hijacking of Woodja?
Is this, it's a hijacking situation.
Yeah, no question.
No, maybe co-opting?
Hijacking. I don't know exactly what the proper legal term for it is. I took law and justice one time in my senior year of high school, but since then,
that doesn't sound like a very fun class.
It was actually a lot of fun. We just went and watched Law and Order every day. It was great. It doesn't sound great, but it was great.
Wait a minute. There was a high school class, and it just involved watching Law and Order reruns.
Well, we would have a lecture like once a week, but then, yeah, pretty much for the other 5 days, we were watching Law and Order reruns.
Hey, I'm starting to think maybe I know what some of the police issues are in St. Louis. How many of those people are graduates of that class?
None that I know of.
Okay, all right.
Well, none that I know of.
I don't want to jump to any conclusions there, but maybe maybe we're not quite getting the proper training.
You know what? I see that we're going to have to hit a big board update.
And no, since we got all the time in the world.
But Todd, this is what I'll say. This is your animal. This is your segment that has been hijacked. So I want to know from you the answer to this question. I feel like I'm not qualified to answer this one.
Look, here is the deal. It's the keeping the same name, and then with Love It or Leave It also, and God knows what else is also being...
The 6 a.m. showdown?
That's an inner office joke that the 6 o'clock showdown is just now the 6 o'clock showdown in the a.m. on Tyler's show. I think we get together here with the brightest minds in the building, and we create some letterhead and send them a letterhead from a fictitious law firm as a cease and desist letter and see whether we can get a response from their station management or not, claiming intellectual property of KGYM has been co-opted by a former employee. And we'll see whether or not that leads to anything. But that was my first thought, was I think we could have some entertainment value here, since a lot of the segments... Now, the first rule of radio is everybody steals from everybody. And we've had, within the building here, we've had something stolen from us and repurposed on another one of our radio stations. Repurposed would be the key word.
Changing
there.
The name.
Yeah, exactly. And so all I'm asking is, hey, I'll give you the keys to the car, but maybe you want to think about rotating the tires and changing the oil before you bring it back.
It's like when a manager sees pine tar on somebody's hat or neck. They're not going to say anything unless it's very obvious.
Exactly. And at this point, I think it's pretty obvious that it's 5:26 and we need to step aside. We'll come back. We'll get you a big board update. Kendall Rogers from D1Baseball.com is on the way, and we'll assemble the team from Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe and get that letter dropped in the mail before 7 o'clock tonight.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier boys tennis team captured a Class 1A team tennis state championship on Tuesday with a 5-0 win over Lamar's in the final. The Saints earlier beat Pella 5-2 in the semis. Congratulations to Coach Jim Potts and the Saints on the championship. The Xavier boys soccer team qualified for the state tournament with a 4-0 win over Mount Pleasant. The Saints open up Class 2A state play against fellow Metro school Marion today. The girls soccer team shut out Ballard 10-0 to advance to a Class 2A regional final next Monday, where they will host Grinnell. And the summer sports are underway. The Xavier baseball team finished 6th at the Metro Baseball Tournament last week and fell twice to Dubuque Wallard in the MVC opener on Tuesday. The softball team is off to a 4-3 start to the year after a split with Iowa City West on Tuesday.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Flat Screen Thursdays are even bigger in 2017. Every Thursday home game, fans can get a free raffle ticket for a chance to win one of 3 40-inch flat screen TVs sponsored by First Federal Credit Union. Fans can also enjoy our Thirsty Thursday specials of $2 12-ounce regular draft beers and 20-ounce bottled soda and water every Thursday. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
5:28, welcome back to the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. Kendall Rogers from D1Baseball.com set to join us after this Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Speaking of Iowa baseball, the honors continuing to pile up for first baseman Jake Adams. Today, the Big Ten's Player of the Year was named a second-team All-American by the publication Collegiate Baseball. That makes Adams just the 17th All-American in the program's history. He's the third player to earn All-American status under Rick Heller at Iowa, joining Blake Hickman and Tyler Payton, who both got the honor in 2015. Adams and the Hawkeyes are set to begin NCAA regional play tomorrow night at 7 o'clock against Houston. Former Iowa State women's basketball player Nikki Moody has settled her discrimination lawsuit with Iowa State out of court for a reported $60,000. As part of that settlement, Iowa State admits to no wrongdoing. Former Iowa football standout Robert Gallery is one of 75 FBS-level players listed on the 2018 College Football Hall of Fame ballot. Gallery won the Outland Trophy as the nation's best offensive lineman in 2003 before going on to an NFL career. The 2018 Hall class will be announced January 8th in Atlanta. Tyler Wells returned from the disabled list and struck out 10 Quad Cities batters last night as the Cedar Rapids Colonels beat the River Bandits 3-0 at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Four relievers combined for 7 more strikeouts to give the Colonels a season-high 17 on the night. Colonels and Bandits close out their series this evening with a 6:35 pitch at Veterans Memorial Stadium, and hopefully there will be no mascot hijinks tonight between Mr. Shucks and any other mascot that may be in the ballpark.
I was trying to find video of this Mr. Shucks incident, and
that's way before video would have been a thing. Most phones at that time didn't even have video on them. Nowadays, if that happens, there's 700 versions of it floating around on the internet. So maybe a good thing that that didn't happen. Hey, they say they're still 15 years later, whatever it is, a little embarrassed about that story at Veterans Memorial Stadium, but they say there's no such thing as bad publicity. Got him mentioned coast to coast.
This morning, Scott Unash received an email wondering if we wanted to get an expert on mascots going awry to join our show today. I kid you not. True story. There's an expert on that.
That is one heck of a way to make a living.
I would love that job.
Would you just sit around waiting, hoping that the San Diego Chicken goes on a bender or something, and then get a spot on ESPN? God bless the Chicken. I know some people think that Mr. Met is the best mascot out there, but he doesn't hold a feather to the original Chicken. Kendall Rogers joining us next. We'll talk NCAA Regional Baseball and the Hawkeyes after this.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need at their next CPAP, BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com.
Honey, you're snoring again.
Oh, sorry.
Is your snoring bothering her? It's possible you have sleep apnea. Talk to your doctor about it. If you do have sleep apnea, find just the right CPAP or BiPAP machine at CarePro Home Medical. They'll get you the correct equipment, make sure you have the right mask with a proper fit, and explain how the equipment works. Help your health. Make her happy with a CPAP from CarePro Home Medical. CarePROHealthServices.com.
I'm John Brickley. LeBron James is making his 7th straight trip to the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant in year 1 with the Warriors is 4 wins away from his first title as Cleveland and Golden State will meet in the finals for the 3rd straight year. It's never been done in NBA history, yet the focus of the series may be in the front court between Draymond Green and Kevin Love, who's been averaging a double-double in 5 straight postseason games. But you know what the talk surrounds these two.
He's one of the best in the game at being a trash talk. I mean, he's a guy, like I mentioned, he sets the tone for them. You know, this is NBA Finals. Everybody expects that and hopes for that. It's the best two teams in the league going at it. So, you know, it's definitely fun to be a part of, and, you know, it's just part of the game.
Love, who averaged 23 a game in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics, marking his most ever in a playoff series, as coverage of Game 1 begins tonight, 8 Eastern, from Oracle Arena, with the game also available on ABC. According to the Sporting News, the Knicks have discussed potential trades with the Blazers for one of their 3 first-round picks. Afternoon baseball, Dodgers Cardinals. St. Louis wins it 2-0. Adam Wainwright delivering the offense with a 2-run home run.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you 3. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. 3 ways you could save 15% or more.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions. Manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
What if there was a toy store for dads? It would be called the Home Depot, where this Father's Day you can get him a new Weber Genesis 2 gas grill. Choose from 2 to 6 burners, multiple colors, and great prices starting at only $499. When it comes to great grilling, every dad deserves Weber. Doesn't yours? Be dad's number one fan with a new grill from America's number one Weber retailer, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, while supplies last.
When you test drive a car, you drive it maybe a few miles. CarQuest brakes are vehicle tested over 1 million miles. Overkill? Maybe. But would you want your brakes tested any less? CarQuest brakes, tested to ensure superior stopping performance over the competition. Right now, save up to $20 by mail on CarQuest Wherever Gold brake pads and 2 CarQuest rotors. Only at Advance Auto Parts and CarQuest Auto Parts, N62817, $10 per axle, C-Store, or AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
Summer involves a lot of driving to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
It's the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, continuing towards 7 o'clock tonight and Game 1 of the NBA Finals between Cleveland and Golden State. You can hear it right here on KGYM. It's the poll question today at KGYMradio.com. How do the finals play out? Vote now. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Mitch Keller, the Cedar Rapids product, selected today for the Florida State League All-Star Game. So congratulations going out to him. He's one of the top pitching prospects in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. We had former All-Star Pirate Freddie Sanchez on the program with us earlier today. You can check out the podcast if you're a masochist at KGYMradio.com. Joining us now on the program, a man who knows all things college baseball, including this year's NCAA tournament field. It's been a while. I think we talked to Kendall when Iowa was searching for a replacement for Jack Dom, so it would have been about 3 or 4 years ago. Kendall Rogers from D1Baseball.com is with us. And Kendall, you got to feel like a kid on Christmas Eve tonight, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. Actually, their regional started today with one reason, BYU. Making a regional, and then Stanford, they played today against Cal State Fullerton because of the no Sunday rule there, and so we've kind of got things rolling here. It should be a lot of fun. I think you look around the country, and certainly with Iowa's regional down in Houston, that was pretty much up for grabs with all four of those teams, and I think there were a couple other ones out there like that as well, so it should be a lot of fun this weekend.
About the Houston regional, is this the toughest regional? Is this the toughest draw for a number one seed in the tournament?
I think so. I mean, I think when you look at this regional overall, I mean, I think a lot of people are talking a lot about A&M for obvious reasons. I think A&M's a team that in the middle of the season played as well as any out in the SEC. They certainly didn't play very well on the stretch, losing 9 out of the last 11. But still, A&M is a really solid club. He's, you know, top 15 club, and they're playing well. But, you know, you look at the rest of the city, and Baylor is a really scrappy club. And Steve Rodriguez has done a phenomenal job with those guys. I mean, Baylor was a team that's expected to be not very good at all, and they've had a nice year. And, of course, Houston, you know, they've overcome the loss of Seth Romero. Seth Romero was suspended twice this year and was finally kicked off the team on his last suspension. You know, he's a preseason first-team All-American, first-round pick, you know, probably before his suspension. They kept trucking along even without him. And then, of course, you look at Iowa. What a job that Rick has done with that team. I've always kind of thought that Rick was an outstanding coach, but you look at the job that he's done with his team this year. You know, they get Jake Adams in, kind of got a blessing there with North Dakota dropping its program. They get Jake Adams, and he's kind of been the kind of the ringleader behind the game changing difference with that program this year. So it's been a lot of fun to see, and that should be an outstanding regional this weekend.
We'll get into the Hawkeyes in a second, but if you had to predict right now, who is the favorite out of that regional?
You know, I probably lean A&M. I think when you look at that regional overall, I just feel like A&M starting with Grayson Brigham Hill did not pitch last weekend, so we actually got a week of rest. I think that's very big for A&M. They need him to be able to go long in that first game against Baylor. Then I think you look at the rest of the rotation for A&M. Like Corbin Martin is a big time arm that can be off at times, but when he's on, he's very good. Could be a first, second round pick, probably a second round pick in the draft. In a couple of weeks, and you look at the number three guy, Stephen Kolick. He's a fastball slider guy who, one of the hottest pitchers they had until about 2 weeks ago. So I like A&M's rotation. Keep an eye on Kaylor Chaffin for A&M, a reliever. You'll likely see him for Iowa. He's a lefty that, stuff is a little bit flat at the SEC tournament last week. He's a little bit tired. But when he is on, he's one of the best relievers in the country. So I lean A&M, but I'll say this, the caveat here for me is I would not be shocked to see any of those other three teams win it. The X factor for me, too, when I look at Iowa, is kind of the weather. The ballpark in Houston typically blows straight out the left field. And with the heat there, that could be a Jake Adams paradise.
Kendall Rogers joining us from D1Baseball.com as we look forward to Iowa taking the field in Houston tomorrow night. 7:04 first pitch against the number one seed Cougars. Iowa's guaranteed to face either A&M or Baylor. What can you tell us about Steve Rodriguez's Baylor Bears?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Baylor is I think they're just a really gritty club. This is a team that, with Aaron Dotson and Shea Lingelier is probably the guy for me. If you're an Iowa fan to keep an eye on, he's a really talented young freshman, solid backstop behind the plate, really mature advanced hitter for his age. He's the kind of watch. The big key for me when I look at Baylor this weekend is clearly they've got to get a nice starting from Montana Parsons at A&M. But another big key is Nick Lewis. He's a guy who's kind of a sinker slider guy. The last two outings, I think he's going to have 16 runs and three total innings in his last two starts. He has got to be much better for the Bears if they want to make a stand up this weekend. So I kind of feel a little bit like Baylor's time's kind of run out. I kind of feel like they're up against the wall a little bit. They haven't played very well in the last couple of weeks. You kind of wonder a little bit if maybe the long season's finally catching up to a team that's, quite frankly, very much overachieving this year.
Did you know anything coming into the season about Jake Adams, and what has surprised you the most or impressed you the most about one of the top power hitters in college baseball?
Yeah, what I think coming into the year, the guy I think we all kind of talked about, and Rick really talked about the fall, was Mason McCoy. He's had a nice year for the Hawkeyes. And, I think you look at Jake Adams, it's amazing. If I'm a college team out there, I really keep an eye on Jeff Dotson, the former head coach of North Dakota. They had Jake Adams signed, and they had Matt Walner signed. I don't know if you guys know a lot about Matt Walner, but he's a kid at Southern Miss who was in the mix for freshman of the year nationally. And so, those are two guys that would have ended up in North Dakota had they not dropped their program. So I give Jeff Dotson a lot of credit for recruiting him. And, Rick, when he found out UND dropped its program, Jake Adams was a guy who was considering dropping baseball. He's now headed to Iowa and now one of the top players in college baseball. I'm really excited to see what he can do on the national stage now that everybody kind of knows who he is. It should be a lot of fun to see.
Where do you think, ballpark-wise, he may wind up going in the draft this month? Because teams are definitely interested. He says he's fielding a ton of phone calls, sending them to his dad for the most part. Can't imagine too high, but teams are going to be intrigued by that power.
No doubt. It may be one of those things we kind of see him at the bottom of those top 10 rounds. The thing I look at when I look at him is when you look around college baseball, there aren't a lot of guys out there with just premier power. You look at Greg Dykeman at LSU, you look at Brent Rooker at Oklahoma State, and then you look at a guy like Jake. And there's not a lot of guys out there like that. And I think there's a premium from my standpoint at least placed on that kind of power, raw power from a guy.
Moving away from the Houston Regional, which one of the top four national seeds do you think has the toughest path to the Super Regional, I should say?
Well, I actually feel like, all those teams have a pretty good setup. I think there's one team that could kind of be upset, I think, in the second round. I think you look at a team like North Carolina. I feel like North Carolina is not playing their best baseball right now. They kind of scuffled a little bit on the mound last weekend against, in the ACC tournament. So North Carolina, for me, is kind of that team. I really feel like whoever wins that Houston Regional has a chance to upset the Tar Heels and Chapel Hill. Other than that, I really feel pretty good about the rest of the top four national teams. I think Florida is playing at a high level. LSU is playing at a high level. And I think you look at Oregon State, I don't see those guys being tripped up either.
Is there a dark horse team in the field right now that you've got your eyes on that you think could surprise some people?
Yeah, I mean, I take a look at Texas. I really feel like Texas is a really solid 1-2-3 punch in the week rotation. I feel like the Longhorns are really starting to find their stride offensively. The problem they have is they've got a really tough, regional in Long Beach with UCLA, Long Beach, and San Diego State. So if Texas can get out of that regional, keep an eye on those guys. They can make a run.
The number one national seed of the Oregon State Beavers had an unbelievable regular season, only 4 losses during the regular season. I remember back a few years when they were the number one national seed when Michael Conforto was hitting in the middle of their lineup. Yeah. They got tripped up by UC Irvine in their regional. Does this team have the goods to make a really deep run?
No, I think they do. I mean, I think the biggest thing when I look at Oregon State is just the sheer balance of this club. I mean, offensively, I wouldn't say they're overwhelming, but they're incredibly opportunistic. They make you pay for mistakes. They execute the small and big details of the game well. And then on the mound, I mean, their numbers are almost like what I call kind of PlayStation game, PlayStation game numbers. They've been just a phenomenal amount. I think their team ERA is around 1.8. They've been great on the mound. Luke Heimlich, he's got a lot of healing on the MLB draft here coming up in a couple of weeks. And, of course, one of the big keys for them is the return of Drew Rasmussen on the mound. He's a guy that's a mid-90s fastball kind of guy. He'll probably be a top, two-round pick. And, he's been a nice addition for those guys, too.
Speaking of the draft, Kyle Wright or Brendan McKay, if you had the number one pick and you had to use it on a college guy, which one would you go with?
Yeah, that's a tough choice. I think highly of Brendan. It's interesting. A lot of scouts kind of talked about maybe using him as a position player. Sounds like he's going to at least get an opportunity to start to do both things. But I would actually probably lean Kyle Wright. I've seen Kyle probably 7 or 8 times over the last couple of years. And I feel like he's a guy that certainly has a prototypical body. He's got a fastball to 96, 97. He's got a big-time slider, big-time cutter, too. So for me, I'd probably lean Kyle Wright. But you cannot go wrong with my man Brendan McKay, too. He's an outstanding player.
Kendall Rogers with us for another minute or two. 5 Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament field this year. Yeah. Would you say that the quality of play in the conference is starting to get a little stronger than it has been in the past?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is I think the Big Ten teams are kind of seeing the other teams that have done in the postseason. Look at Indiana getting to Omaha. You look at progressively the league as a whole getting better. And I think the kind of the kickstarter for me, guys, was Nebraska joining the league. I think a lot of people saw when Nebraska joined the league that, hey, we better kind of up the ante a little bit. These guys have a great facility. These guys aren't playing around. And I think the rest of the Big Ten has kind of heated that advice. Michigan has done renovations. Minnesota's built a new ballpark. Indiana's built a new ballpark. Michigan State's built a new ballpark. So you're starting to see a trend. And it's no surprise that once you start actually committing to baseball, wins follow. So it's been great to see. I've always said I'd really like to see the Big Ten kind of get things rolling. In terms of consistency, this could be an interesting year. I mean, I look at Michigan as a team that I feel like can very well upset North Carolina in that Chapel Hill regional. I think Indiana is a solid club. And they have a tough road. So I think the teams are playing have maybe a little bit more pitching. But then, keep an eye on Maryland and Winston-Salem. I think Maryland, John Sheff always has his guys playing on a regional. Keep an eye on those guys, too. But what a year from the Big Ten. And this conference just continues to make strides.
Iowa's not in this tournament if it doesn't win the Big Ten tournament last weekend. The RPI was not fantastic. Yeah. They don't benefit from geography like in Indiana where you can go play Louisville or you can go play Kentucky. What would you do if you were Iowa to try to boost the RPI moving forward?
Well, I think if I was Rick, I think what I'd do early in the season is probably go on the road and play, try to play teams like A&M. I played SEC teams that are always going to play teams in conference that help your RPI. So if I'm Rick, I look at A&M or Houston, outside the SEC, maybe Texas, and some other SEC schools. I think the big key is playing schools that play other good RPI teams the whole year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think there's a lot of teams out there that want to risk playing Iowa. So I think Rick is going to consistently have this program in the mix. But that's kind of the philosophy I would have.
Kendall, we appreciate the time and enjoy the tournament.
Yeah, you guys, have a good weekend. Thank you.
Kendall Rogers from D1Baseball.com. I looked at Iowa's non-conference schedule a couple days ago, and as far as RPI goes, the outside, if you take the season opening trip to Florida off the table, because I think it was Central Florida that they played, and they had an RPI of 21, if you take them out of the equation, the highest RPI team that they faced in the non-conference was Minnesota, whom they wound up playing in the DQ Classic in the Twin Cities. And when I say it's difficult for Iowa, I was having this conversation with another regular guest on the program. We were having it via direct message, so I will leave his name out of it. But we were talking about Indiana baseball and the fans being upset at having a 34-35 win season or whatever it was that the Hoosiers did this year, and how spoiled they were after just a couple seasons ago. And success in baseball can be even more fickle than football and basketball. But what was pointed out was Indiana can play and has played a midweek game against Louisville. They've played a midweek game or a weekend non-conference series against Kentucky, two schools that have really terrific RPIs. And then you look at all of the Southern schools who play other Southern schools in midweek and non-conference games. That benefits their RPI. And then it comes to Iowa. You've got Minnesota, which is in the Big Ten. You've got your border states, Nebraska now in the Big Ten, so playing them, not necessarily an option.
Illinois.
Missouri may be an option there. But again, like Kendall said, it takes two to tango. And just because Iowa might want to play a series against somebody, they're getting to the point now where they're, I don't want to say they're the scrappy ankle biter, but if you're Missouri or if you're another team that's got to look out for your best interest, are you putting Iowa on the schedule?
No, not during the midweek schedule.
And so what that leaves Iowa with is these really unattractive midweek games against Western Illinois and Bradley. And with college baseball, what you also have to take into account is they try to keep the costs down. So if you can get a charter bus and drive to Peoria, Illinois, as opposed to going to College Station, Texas, you're going to take the charter bus to Peoria, Illinois. So you've got a lot of things working against you when you're a northern team playing college baseball. Iowa's been able to overcome that two of the last 3 years. 2 years ago, they played their way in. And then this year, I should say, played their way in on merit. And then this year, they won the Big Ten tournament for the first time in school history and forced their way into the conversation. It is a very interesting regional. And again, I think Texas A&M's probably the team to look out for there. Houston, as the host, is going to be scary. I think they've got the second most home runs next to Iowa in this four-team pod. And Baylor is not that bad either, although I think as an at-large team, they use their early season success to get in. So we'll see how things play out tomorrow. 7:04 first pitch, and we'll watch the start of it right after our program at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City. It should be a great day of baseball. You got Cubs, Cardinals, and then you've got us from 4 to 7 on the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. And then you've got Iowa and Houston on TV afterwards. So stop on in and join us. We'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, another Midwest One Bank Big Board update and hour number 3 still to come.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new spicy, crispy Zinger Chicken Sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up for a limited time. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a hand-breaded Zinger Chicken Sandwich, wages, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger and a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertine and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
5:54 on this June 1st edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on KGYM's three frequencies. We have NBA Finals action on tap for you tonight. Game one between the Cavaliers and the Warriors coming your way after 7 o'clock. Now it's time for a big board update brought to you by Midwest One Bank. Midwest One, where you're the one. The honors continue to pile up for Iowa first baseman Jake Adams. Today, the Big Ten's Player of the Year was named a second-team All-American by the publication Collegiate Baseball. That makes him just the 17th All-American in the program's history. He's the third player to earn that honor under head coach Rick Heller at Iowa. Blake Hickman and Tyler Payton were both All-Americans in 2015. Adams and the Hawkeyes set to begin NCAA regional play tomorrow against Houston. Former Iowa State women's basketball player Nikki Moody and Iowa State have settled a lawsuit alleging discrimination out of court for a reported $60,000. As part of the settlement, Iowa State does not admit any wrongdoing. Former Iowa football standout Robert Gallery is one of 75 FBS-level players listed on the 2018 College Football Hall of Fame ballot that was released today. Gallery won the Outland Trophy in 2003 as the nation's best offensive lineman. The Hall of Fame class will be announced January 8th in Atlanta as part of the national championship. Speaking of college football, Big Ten Media Days have been set July 25th and 26th this season in Chicago. And Tyler Wells returned from the disabled list last night to strike out 10 Quad Cities batters as the Colonels won 3-0. Those two teams close out their series tonight with a 6:35 first pitch. Colonels announcing that left-handed pitcher Andrew Vasquez was promoted to Fort Myers earlier today. Logan Lombana is activated with the team. He returns from extended spring training, although he never left Cedar Rapids. And former Cedar Rapids Colonel Randy Rosario is joining the Minnesota Twins at the big league level. So yet another former Colonel is making a big league debut in the future.
I think he was with the Colonels my first year back in Cedar Rapids here with KGYM. That would have been 2014, correct?
He, if I recall correctly, spent parts of two seasons with the Colonels because he was a guy who injured his arm. And I may be getting him confused with another pitcher, but I think Rosario had to work his way back. Was it maybe Fernando Romero is the guy that I'm getting him confused with, but Rosario is a really talented player.
You're right, 2014 and 2015.
And I think a guy that new regime in Minneapolis wants to take a look at. And I know there were a lot of Twins fans out there that were saying, look, why are we turning to the likes of Drew Rosinski and Buddy Beauchers, another former Colonel from the Angels days, all these guys that are AAA retreads, why not get some of the young talent up at the big league level? And they're starting to do that with Randy Rosario. And speaking of that question that I asked Kendall Rogers, it's looking more and more like the Twins may be leaning toward taking Kyle Wright with that first overall pick. Kyle Wright, the ace pitcher for Vanderbilt, which would mean he probably wouldn't pitch in Cedar Rapids if they did manage to sign him. So it's just some draft news as we're inside a week and a half away from the start of the MLB draft. I don't want to ruin the surprise here, but it involves hour number three starting with my trip to lunch today. Back after this.
Summer involves a lot of driving, to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
Missing that spring in your step? Maybe it's time to stop tossing and turning on your old mattress. Time for a new bed. A Sleep Number bed adjusts to your own individualized comfort.